From its earliest performances in the 90s, Tony Kushner's Angels in America gave audiences a sense of relief that a powerfully intelligent playwright was sorting out our painful past and present. The deaths and hidden miseries of AIDS, Roy Cohn and the Rosenbergs, racism in a sharply divided America. It was about everything. The play's history is now a long theatrical book, an oral history, told by roughly 250 people, actors, directors, critics, many of them well-known talkers.
George Wolfe and Marsha Gay Harden and Lin-Manuel Miranda and Tony Kushner, who is himself a holder forth of great measure.
And many not so well-known, says Dan Coyce, who put the book together with co-author Isaac Butler. They just decided to talk to everyone they could find who had anything to do with it, even if it turned out the person had nothing to say, even if that person had been fired from Angels in America.
In fact, no one had nothing to say because everyone had had this like earth-shaking event happen to them and they wanted to talk about it. They've been waiting for 20 years for someone to call them on the phone and talk to them about the time they got fired from Angels in America.
The title of the book is a line from the play, The World Only Spins Forward. Even before I started reading the Angels book, the idea of it made me think of a 2009 biography I'd read in which nearly 150 people told their stories about film director Robert Altman, who made MASH, Nashville, The Player, so many more. Author Mitchell Zukov had done a series of interviews with Altman with a memoir in mind. When the director died in the middle of that process, Zukov talked to Altman's friends, relatives, and colleagues and put all the pieces together into a sprawling portrait. If you've ever seen an Altman film, the book has something of that atmosphere, many characters, overlapping voices, and unpredictable digressions. Of course, the real oral historian was Studs Terkel.
I think it's an oral journalist is what I am. A historian is more scholarly in nature and just curiosity about what makes the human species tick.
In Terkel's working, he had his own reasons for wanting to bring certain people to light, people not generally heard from, talking about how they spent their days.
The human being is capable of anything, noble or degrading. It depends upon the values of a society or the world in which he lives. So individuals are those I seek out.
But the book that influenced the authors of the Angels book, it seems, was one about fleeting fame and celebrity culture in the 60s.
The oral history, Edie.
That would be Edie Sedgwick, the socialite, actress, and Andy Warhol's superstar and muse who, after her flash of stardom, disappeared from the scene and died at age 28. The book of wildly varied interviews, compiled by Jean Stein after Sedgwick herself had died, was on every night table when it was published in 1982. Stein, too, interviewed hundreds of people, including more than 60 who never even made it into the book.
The whole book is done in a form where each person in the book is speaking to you directly.
In a radio interview just after Edie was published, Jean Stein made the case for the style of it and for the way it presented Sedgwick's fragile, fantastic, tragic 60s life.
It's like you have 100 or 250 people in the room talking to you, just as if you're in a conversation, and nobody is ever telling you, the reader, what you should think. It's like you are living through that experience.
That actually sounds a lot like our very current idea of removing the authoritative voice. And that was what Coyce and Butler wanted, too.
We like the idea of this cocktail party full of voices telling the story in roughly chronological order, but often bouncing off each other in single sentence bursts of dialogue, but then occasionally launching into a kind of aria when a memory is so grand that it can't be contained in conversation.
In a style kind of like a play.
I'm a Mormon.
I'm a homosexual.
Oh! In my church, we don't believe in homosexuals.
In my church, we don't believe in Mormons.
The story of the great American play, Angels in America, naturally, would have to go in several different directions. Although one direction it continues to go in is up. In the book, we learn from Tony Kushner that even he was lagging behind in accepting its success. He describes an interviewer coming to his somewhat dingy apartment to talk to him after he'd won the Pulitzer Prize. And she says, "So, are you going to move out of here?" And Kushner says, "Well, I don't know. I want to see what happens." The interviewer says, "What?"
part of the story of those years of the, you know, 1993 in particular, when the play premiered on Broadway, is the story of this play and everything associated with it suddenly becoming enormous, far more enormous than anyone who had anything to do with it thought it ever could be, because there was no real context for a two-part Broadway play about gay men to completely overwhelm the culture, you know, to be written about in the New York Review of Books, to be on the cover of the Times Magazine and Arts and Leisure in the same week, you know, just to just completely take over the city. It was all anyone was talking about.
And it tackled, rather than exploited, the toughest political and social divisions among us, many of which we're still feeling, which may be why we want to read about it. But I had to laugh out loud when I got to page 304 of The World Only Spins Forward, because who should turn up in the book but Robert Altman? The two oral histories overlap. It turns out Altman, whom I'd come to know by reading his oral biography, was seriously considered as director of the film of Angels in America. Not a terrible idea, but it didn't happen to work out that way. The job went to Mike Nichols, and was another highlight of the play's life. Talk about complicated. It's almost too much to have intersecting oral histories, but that's how the world does work, after all. Things do intersect. In fact, after that, I almost expected Edie Sedgwick to turn up in the book.
I backed out of a film I was supposed to do for Andy Warhol. I refused.
And maybe even Gene Stein, too, and Studs Terkel.
I don't believe in questions. I believe in conversation. You must remember that I myself.
That would be some cocktail party. Like an Altman film, a Kushner play, and an oral history all mixed into one. Even in the era of the podcast, when we so love to listen to human voices telling us tales and helping us understand the world, we love to read people talking too. This Angels book is one in a mostly fascinating, sometimes overlapping, long line. So, read the book, watch the film, see the play. It's Fishko Files. I'm Sarah Fishko.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.